Parshas Vayera begins Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elon Mamre. God appeared to Avram in the plains of Mamre. Who Yoshev Pesach Ha'olah Kachom Hayom, and he was sitting by his tent. And it says Vayisa Einav Vayar, and he looks up and he sees these three people, the angels dressed up like people coming. So number one, the Chazal, the rabbis teach us that Avram was recovering from his circumcision. He was an elderly gentleman going through, recovering from a major surgery. Reminds me of when I read the parasha, I think about many years ago when I had kidney stones, well, post-kidney stones, had Jerry take care of me. And when I was in the hospital, back in the day, you had to stay in the hospital for a while after. Now they do it differently, where they send you home, all things. But so I was in the hospital. I guess it was, I got a semi-private room. And this guy next to me, like, I'd say he's probably in the 70s. Maybe, at that point, I considered that old. I don't know about now, but an elderly gentleman, and he seemed to be in a lot of pain. So I asked him, I said, what are you in for? He said, circumcision. I don't think it was a religious circumcision. Maybe it was a medical one. Be it what it may, he was in a lot of pain. And that's what I think about the parsha with Avram. Very painful. And God came to, I mean, at least I went to visit him. I'm not, at least Avram got God to visit. So Avram was sick, and God was probably a little more comforting than me, and he went to visit Avram and to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, Levaka Esachola, as Chazal tell us. So God's visiting Avram. He's doing a Bikur Cholim visit, visiting the sick. And all of a sudden, in the middle of his discussion with God, he looks up and he sees these three people coming towards him. And he says, sorry, God, I got to get out of here. He leaves God and he runs to these three Arabs, or, you know, whoever these people are. And so you would think, like, what kind of chutzpah? Like, in the middle of speaking to God. Like, obviously God knows what's going on. If God wants you to take care of them, why can't he tell you? So it seems like it's an inappropriate act by Avraham, if just logically. Like, if it was a melech bus of Adam, if it was a human king, he probably would have chopped his head off. Like, chutzpah, in the middle of talking in the king's palace, you run out, take care of a peasant? Are you nuts? So, yet, Chazal find favor in what Avram did. In fact, the Gemara in Shabbos learns out a very important principle. Gedola hachnasas archim mikabolas pinei hashchina. Greater is the mitzvah of entertaining guests, taking care of people, that even speaking to God, to being in the divine present. That's what we learn out, that Avram not did a mechutzav tigak, that I might have thought, but he actually did a very important act. So that's one thing, let's say, so how do we know that's true? We learn it from Avram. But how did Avram know this was the right thing to do? Obviously, I assume God would have to give him a cue. Apparently, that's what he did. So I heard a pshat from Rav Nissen Alpert, Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Also, I think Rav Soloveitchik says something similar. They both say a similar idea. So how do we know this is true? We know this is true from Avram. But how did Avram know it? So clearly God had to tell him. But where do we find God relaying the message? So they explain as follows. We know about Nevuah, that there is prophecy. And we know Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, like one of the Yud Gimel, not Midos, the Yud Gimel Ikarim, we say, or I wouldn't say we say, but they're in the back, they're in the Siddur after Shacharis, the 13 principles of Maimonides. And one of the principles is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all prophets. of Hanaviim. You know, not that other prophets, Avram's a good prophet, Yitzchak is a good prophet, Isaiah is a good prophet, Yirmiyahu, but it's nice. You could have your own favorite if you want. But in terms of objectively, the Rambam says it's not just a little thing. One of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, one of the 13 Ikarim of belief, is you have to believe not only in prophecy that the Moshe Rabbeinu is of. Of doesn't mean he is the first. There were many prophets before him. He's the father of all prophets. No one else could come close to him in prophecy. And why is that such an important belief? I mean, what's so bad if I think Avram's a better prophet or a greater prophet than Moshe? If I think Yirmiyahu is, I'll tell you why. It's a very big problem because the Mefarshim explain is because in order to keep the Torah eternal and that it can't be changed, it's a fundamental principle. Because let's say we don't have that principle that Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all. So what's going to happen today? Someone will wake up. You know what? I got a nevuah that God told me, let's get rid of Shabbos. Let's get rid of... So if someone could be greater than Moshe, okay, so maybe there's what to discuss. You know, obviously, can't be this lunatic getting up. It has to be, you know, Navi Muksak, but has to be... So by definition now, if you say one mitzvah is changed, forget about changing many things, you're a Navi Sheker. You're a false prophet. And that's what we assume all the, you know, the different prophets of other religions, you know, that basically, all religions basically agree that God gave the Torah to Moses on Sinai. They just say the Jews were rejected because of the sin of the golden calf or some other reason, and now God rejected them. Of course, our opinion is if God revealed himself to us in front of millions of people, he's not going to just tell one person. You know, as the story goes, imagine like a father had two children and he had a $1 billion business, but only one, whatever the case was, only one could run it. The other one had to find something else to do. So they were fighting over who should get the business. They're going back and forth. So finally, one morning, they both wake up. The brother says to the other, you know what? It's all solved. Daddy came down to me in a dream last night and said, I'm the one. You think that's going to be comforting to the other brother? He says, if Daddy wanted me to know, I think he would have told me. Why is he telling you? That's our feeling. If God changed his mind, if he revealed himself in front of millions of people, then if he changes his mind, I think he doesn't want to keep it a secret. He wants to tell everybody. So therefore, whatever it is, we believe Moses is of HaNaviim, and it ensures the Torah can never be changed. Anyone who denies one oath in the Torah, one mitzvah for Moshe, is a false prophet. Of course, you could have Hora Shah. A Navi could temporarily suspend the mitzvah, but you can't say a mitzvah no longer applies. It ensures that the Torah remains forever. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNaviim. So the Rambam gives us a couple of different signals. Like, what's the difference between Moshe's prophecy versus another? Let's say you have Moshe on one hand, everyone else on the other. So by the general prophecy, how does it work? It works is that basically, Bachaloma Dabir, God comes down to you in a dream, or you're spaced out, you're not fully there, you're not like fully conscious, however it's going to be, it's at night, there's a little cloudiness, darkness, and basically, by Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever it means exactly, he's the only Navi who could speak to God face to face, so to speak, panim al panim. And therefore, number one, it's direct, but as well, he gets the words, Shechina midaberes b'tok, Mito Grono Shel Moshe, as the Chazal tell us that basically Moshe was an extension of God. The God speaks and it came out of Moshe's mouth. By other Nevi'ims, we have a principle that you can't have two Nevi'im, two prophets giving the same prophecy. If they do, you know one's a Navi Sheker. one's a false prophet. Like, why? Why can't you have two prophets saying the same thing? Because, like, it's like you have 10 people in a room describing an event. Everyone's going to describe it a little different because you're taking your own personal events. So too with a Navi, the general klal is God gives you a message and then you interpret the message. So obviously every Navi is going to interpret it a little different. So anyone who says the same exact thing, you know, they're lying. So when it came to other prophecies, it's only like a message. In contrast to Moshe, it's Zehadava, this is it. It's exact. When Moshe says something, it goes direct from God to Moshe, yeah.
Isn't that the source for this? Is what God said to Miriam when she and who was it who were saying the sort of negative thing about
Moshe? Aaron?
Yes, man, Aaron. And then I said, you know, Moshe, but just Moshe is different from
Aaron. So that's where Rav Elchanan Wasserman points out. He says, how do we know? So he says one of the sources is what Jeff is quoting. It's at the end of Bahaloscha, I believe, the story with Miriam talking Lashon Hara. In other words, basically, she was rebuking Moshe. Apparently, Moshe wasn't living with his wife. And therefore, she said, I'm a prophet. Aaron, we're all prophets. We live with our spouses. So what do you think? You're better than all of us? I don't know if he thinks he is, but he was. So how do we know? So we learn out from here that Moshe Rabbeinu had a different relationship because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, you know, because he had, since the Shekhinah could, I guess other prophets had certain warnings, God would only come down to them at certain times. Moshe Rabbeinu had to be ready 24/7, and therefore that's why he always had to be ready for God. So his was a special. The rule is you do live with your wife, but Moshe Rabbeinu was an exception to the rule. And therefore, that's where that's what we see from here. The fact that Miriam was punished. And the Bali Musa point, and imagine, Miriam loved her brother, and she wasn't saying it in a bad way. She probably felt bad for Moshe's wife or whatever. She was trying to give him. And yet we see she was punished with leprosy for a week. How much more so people speak Lashon Hara with nefarious, with, you know, negative intent, how much more so. But nevertheless, but we see in the different sources, but it's clear Moshe Rabbeinu, different halachas don't apply to Moshe, you know, let's say that apply to others, because Moshe was clear he was of HaNeviim. So based on this, comes along Reb Nissen Alpert and says the following pshat. So what happened? Avram Avinu is talking to God, as we said. God's on a Bikur Cholim visit. He's visiting and comforting Avram Avinu, recovering from major surgery. As of course, as I always like to say, what's the difference between minor and major surgery? I say, when it's happening to you, it's minor. When it's happening to me, it's major. So, but by all accounts, a 90-plus man having Mila, I think all would agree it's a major surgery. So he's talking to God, and all of a sudden, when he's talking to God, what does the Pasuk say? Vayisa eina vayar. He looked up, and he saw these three people. Like, so Avram's thinking, wait a second. Avram's not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu could speak to God face to face. That's it. When all the other times that God appeared to Avraham, it was like all dark, it was spaced out, it was unclear. And he says, what's going on? All of a sudden now God's showing me an image of these people. Like, oh, Avraham was nobody's fool. I guess God is sending me the message. I better get off my chair and go ahead and start doing some Hachnatas Archim, which I wanted to do anyway. So that's the pshat Rav Alpert explained in Rav Zal, is up until now, he never saw the fact that, so the question is, how do we know this halacha? Greater is Hachnatas Archim, greater is entertaining guests than speaking to God. We learn it out from Avram, because that's the Gemara. But the question is, how did Avram know it? The answer is, from the original source, God. God, how did, well, we don't see God telling him. We do. From the pasuk says, Vayisei no vayar, usually he saw nothing. The fact he saw an image of three men coming said, God must want me, God's telling me to leave him, and I should take care of the three people. So that's how he knew it. That's why it says gedola. Gedola meaning you get more out of it. You know, a person, like you would think, what do you get more out of? Like many people, when they talk about like religious people, you know, it's a misnomer, but they, you know, they're usually referring to their ben adam lamakom. Many, oh, this source and stuff, you know, whatever, I'm not getting into what people look like, what they wear, but the point is, based on their appearance and this, and I'm not saying they're not from, but I'm just saying is, but many people, oh, that's a religious person, the one who has to them a certain look. But when you see the person, you don't, with integrity, honest, you don't necessarily, you're not saying he's not a religious guy, but you saw, well, that has nothing to do with religion. You know, the guy's a nice guy, in spite of his religion, perhaps, if you're anti-religious, but whatever the issue is. But so what Chazal is telling us, no. You would think, like, talking to God, that should be, like, the highest experience, tefillah. But no, God's saying, gedola, you want something even greater? You go take care of people. You entertain guests. And, in fact, that's what we say. That why do we do chesed? One reason is we have a mitzvah to imitate God. So what do you mean, imitate God? We can't come close to God. It will burn up. The answer is no. How do we imitate God? God does Bikur Cholim. We do Bikur Cholim. God's involved in the Kfura. We do Kfura. God's involved in Nichum Aveilim. So that's Gedola. You want to really come close to God? Davening and speaking to God's pretty good. As they say, when we're davening, we're speaking to God. And when we're learning Torah, God's speaking to us. So that's one madrega, ben adam lamakom. But if you're gedola, if you really want to get closer to God, imitate him, imitate his ways. This is like God takes care of the needy, we take care. And that's what you want to know how to become a mensch? Follow Avram Avinu around for a day, and he'll teach you, you learn all the midos, all the good characteristic traits, and learn how to be a mensch. And that's what Chazal, so with Naman Gedola Hachnoser, it's greater. And obviously, why would God, you know, and the fact that God sent him out showed it. So it says, so what happened? He went ahead and he took care of, the three people came, and we see he took care of the three people. In fact, it says, we know he brought them everything. And it's interesting to note that it says, Yukach na ma'at mayim v'rachasu ragweihem. So the Rav Nissen Alper, while we're on him, he points out, if Avram, we learn Ava, it's not just to the mitzvah to do chesed, we want to do Avas chesed. Don't just do it, you know, as the Gemara says, a person could, let's say, talk about kibud av v'aim. A person could get more scar by even not, if you throw a steak at your father and say, here, eat it, versus like, all I could afford, here's some pasta. In other words, it's not so much, it's, you know, it's your attitude to have Avas Chesed. So he wants to know, how come if Avram is so gracious, he brought them all the ribs, all the potatoes, all the foods, the desserts, the appetizers, the challah. So why is he so stingy with the water? Yukach na ma'ayim. Why is he only giving them a little bit of water? Why not be generous with the water? First I'll tell you the Chafetz Chaim's pshat, then I'll come back to Rav Nissen Alpert's pshat. So the Chafetz Chaim says pshat is because we know many people, maybe pre-COVID, and people are starting to have people over more now a little bit. So you have a, So you have a chance to do Hachnasas Archim. So you invite people over. So many people, like before they invite, I wouldn't say many people, some people before they invite someone, let's say someone's new and they don't know them, so they want, they're not going to have them over until they get an FBI report. They want to make sure they got to know the person's history. So obviously there's two halachas of entertaining guests. There's halacha of kabdehu v'chashdehu. Kabdehu means to make sure you honor your guest. Kabdehu, chashdehu is you have to suspect them. So of course, if you have a stranger came in, you have no idea who they are, you're not going to leave them home, and you're not going to leave, it's not very smart to leave them home alone. They could come back and they emptied out your house. So you have to use seichel, but you don't have to go to every extreme to make sure you do a acceptable check. You do the bare minimum. Whatever has to be done, you do. Whatever doesn't have to be done, you don't do. So when it comes to chashtehu, you do the minimum. When it comes to kabdehu, honor them, you do, there is no maximum. You go all out. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what was the water for? Yukach Nama. So Chazal tell us that during the time of Avraham, people used to worship the water, the earth on the ground, on their feet. The people walked, you know, they didn't have shoes, they had sand all over their feet. So people used to worship that. There was an Avodah Zarah. So when they came into Avram's tent, so are they idol worshippers? I don't know. Ma'amayim. I'll just do the minimum. Just in case, okay, here, take a little bit of water, you know, wipe off the Avodah Zarah or whatever off your feet, wherever it was. So when it means symbolically, when it came to him being concerned about Azarim, so you have to be chashteo, but ma'at mayim. But when it came to the kabduhu, he took the calf, he took the food, and he went all out. So we see the Chafetz Chaim, Avram's the ideal, you look at him, that you focus on the kabdehu, and you minimize the chashteo. That's the Chafetz Chaim's pshat. Jeff. That's correct. That's what I'm saying right now. So Rav Nissen Alpert, he gives a different shot. He says as follows. When do people become tzaddikim? When does everyone become so righteous? At someone else's expense. Yes. In other words, let's say, you know what? If you want to wake up at 3 in the morning and go to the airport to pick someone else, great. But no, if I'm doing it, I want to wake up at 8 o'clock. But you know what? You want to do a good thing? There's someone coming in. If people become tzaddikim when they tell other people to do things. It's just the opposite. As Rav Yisrael Salanter used to say, what's a tzaddik? Someone who cares about his own ruchnius and someone else's gashmius. He cares about his own spirituality, but the other person's physical needs. That's a tzaddik. Not that, you know, tzaddikim, you know what, I'm worried about this guy's spiritual. Don't worry about his spiritual needs so much. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't worry about them at all. But first take care of his physical needs and everything else. Then we'll move to the next step. So that's what Rav Alpert explained. If Avram was, so Avram and Sarah took care of the whole meal. However, it wasn't like they had water, like we go to the kitchen and turn on the water faucet. They had to go to the wells that could have been miles away from them. And someone had to schlep the water. Someone had to carry it. So I'm sure if Avram himself went to the wells, he would have brought back a couple of gallons. But if he's sending one of his servants to go get it, so therefore, I'm not going to be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. You know, whatever water we need, I'll bring. But I'm not going to make this person go ahead and do these other things at the expense. I'm not at the expense of this person. Like they point out that we find this as well, Avram, and before that when Avram. was fighting the wars with Anshei Sodom, and he told them, "Tain li harach." He says, "I don't want to. I'm not taking any of the booty. You keep everything. I don't want people to say you made me rich. I want people to say God made me rich." So the Mefarshim point out that even though Avram himself, because really the rules of the war are the people who are victorious in war are entitled to the booty. It wasn't that he wasn't entitled to. He was doing lefnim ashuras, he was doing more than he had to. And he said, "I'm not taking anything because soni matonos yichya." It's a good quality to have, not to accept gifts if you don't need them. So, however, he himself was going to be strict. But who am I? All the soldiers just fought the war. I'm going to tell them not to take the booty? Well, who do you think I am? I should be a tzaddik at their expense? No, you guys, you can take any booty. Whatever you're entitled to, go right ahead. I'm going to take on my own personal chumrah. I'm not going to put chumras on other people. I'll put chumras on myself. And that's what we see, again, don't not being a tzaddik at someone else's expense. That's the yisod that Rav Alpert explains. That's what Avram lived by. When he did something, he went all out. But if someone else was doing something for him, he was made sure not to be a tzaddik at his expense. He'll just do the minimum. And just as well, just to point out, we seem to see a stira with Avram, I know it's an apparent contradiction, because we find it's true by Sodom he didn't take any booty, but by the previous war with Paro he seemed to take booty and wanted it. So which one is it? Do we say sonei matonas yichya, like not to take gifts, or you should take gifts? Because we find Avram with Paro taking gifts, but with Sodom not taking gifts. So the answer is, of course, it depends. Soni matonis yichya is this a nice midah? It's not halacha. You're entitled. If someone wants to give you a gift, there's nothing wrong with taking it. It's a higher level midah. You don't be dependent on anyone else. You can whatever the reasons behind it is. If you don't need to accept gifts from anyone, then don't take them. So it depends on the situation. So when it came to Sodom, God, Avram said, "I don't want any gifts because I don't want people to think, because God already made Avram wealthy. Avram at this point was wealthy. I don't need any gifts. Like, you think I'm Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, whoever needs your money? I mean, it's nice. I'm sure people do like getting gifts even if they don't need something, but that's a separate issue. But Avram, Soni Matonis Yechya. I'm wealthy. I don't need any gifts. I'm not taking any booty from the war." So that's when he's saying I'm not gonna take any. However, let me ask you something. Let's say you're a baal chov. Let's say you owe someone money. Let's make it simple. Let's say you owe someone $100 and you have no idea how you're gonna get the money. You know, the rest of the money you're using to make a living, whatever the case is, you have $100, you owe someone, and you have no idea how you're going to pay back, and someone comes over, "Hey, I really like you, here's $100 gift." So is that a madreged not to take the gift? We say, soni matonas yich, you know, so of course not. Soni matonas yich is a chumra. You know, it's a nice midah to have. All things being equal, you don't take a gift from someone if you don't need it. But if you're in debt and you owe someone money, you have a chiyuv to pay him back. That's silly not to take the money. Common sense dictates you take the money. And that's why when Avram in the beginning was poor, that's why we find when he was traveling, he even went back to the same motel. So when Avram needed the money, so he didn't say, "Soni matana zichya yad secha." Okay. I owe people money. I can't. Someone wants to offer me money. I can't say I'm not gonna. How could I not take it? But when Avram was wealthy, he knew enough to say it. In fact, there's a famous ma'aser with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, one of the great gedolim. You know, He lived in Muncie not long ago. I think he passed away in the 80s or 90s, I'm not sure. But he was known as a Pekeach, very wise individual. The police used to go to him to figure out clues for crimes. But nevertheless, the case was, it must have been in the 70s, maybe 80s, that they had a big problem with kosher, tefillin, mezuzahs, because things there inside the boxes, you know, most people, you get a thing of tefillin, you don't open it up, or your mezuzah, it's already wrapped up. So there was a big scams going on. I think some people were putting like bazooka jokes inside the mezuzahs, whatever it was. It was a terrible matziv, a terrible situation. And many people found out that they had none, all of their, they didn't have one kosher mezuzah. They did the checks and all their mezuzahs were pasul, you know, different people. So they had a big asif, a big gathering in Muncie, and people were talking about it. So one of the rabbis got up and said, you know what? I have a gemilas chasadim fund. For those who can't afford it, you know what? I'll lend you money. I mean, not his, whatever. It's not his personal money. Don't worry. You could borrow the money and you could put up mezuzahs. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was the last speaker. He got up, you know, and praised the Ho'asifa. And he says, I agree with most of the things that were said, but I have to take issue with the last speaker who said, you should borrow money and to get mezuzahs and put on in your house, he said. So obviously he's talking about, so obviously if it's a cash flow issue, you have $1 million in your funds or not, and you just can't get to it. Okay, so great, so borrow money and then you have the money. It's just a matter of waiting till the funds come in or something along those lines. For those people who don't have the money, they have no idea, you know, hopefully they'll be successful, but they have no idea they're going to borrow this money and have no concept of how to pay it back. Rav Yaakov said, better to live in a house without a mezuzah on it than borrow money and have no way of paying it back. That's how far Rav Yaakov, you know, you need a Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky to say. Again, it has to be a specific situation. Obviously, if you have money, but you know, but it's locked up. And you know, I'm just saying it. I'm assuming that's what he means. Obviously, you have to know the context and all that. But the point being isn't you shouldn't have a house without mezuzahs. That's not his point. But his point was the point is how bad it is. Don't go into debt on even for a mitzvah purpose if you have no concept of how to pay back. So that's the yisur we learned by Avraham Avinu. When it came to Sodom, I'm not taking a cent, I'm wealthy. But before he was wealthy, when he still owed people money, okay, so Soni Matonis Yichya, I'm not going to take on a chumra. Mezuzah is not a chumra, but the halacha is if you don't have enough money, you know, if you can't pay for a positive bit, so you're exempt. So strictly speaking, his Rav Yaakov's point was, he's talking about someone who really was poor, not what, you know, but halacha considers poor, so you don't have to spend more than 20%. So better not to have a mezuzah than to go into debt and not be able to pay back. So obviously, you know, it doesn't mean someone else can't just give him a mezuzah and other things like that, but that's the yisod. The yisod is we learn the whole Sefer Bereishis, but specifically the parshas coming up, Vayera, we'll read a Chayisara. If you want to learn how to become a mensch, how to learn Avas Chesed, we have to follow Avraham Avinu around and learn all from the different midos. So we learn from him, Gedola Hachnosis Archem Mikabolas Pnei Hashchina. Greater is entertaining guests. He learned that God taught him by imitating what he does, by doing actions Ben Adam Achavera. That's how you become close to me. That's how you get to know me. I like helping the needy. You help the needy. I help the poor, you help the poor, etc. And then we learn from Avram the Midas of we have to focus on Kabdeu. We put the focus on the honor in the entertaining guest and we minimize the Chashdeu, the suspecting. Or as Rav Alpert explained, Don't be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. Avram was very strict when it came to him doing it. When him and Sarah were involved, they went all out, but he's sending someone else, it's ma'at mayim. Don't be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. And that's what we see also. That's why he, even though he didn't take the booty, but he let his soldiers take the booty, because what, it's not his job to be machmir. Yes, he shouldn't be a tzaddik with someone else. As Rabbi Saul Salanter said, a tzaddik is you care about your own spiritual growth and the other person's physical needs. And that's the Yisod as well. We saw that even Avraham Avinu, he knows when to take a chumrah. If I don't have any money, I can't, and I owe people money, I can't turn down gifts. But if I do have money, so then I don't want to be beholden to anyone. I'm not going to take gifts from anyone, etc. And that's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky went so far, not to be a Baal Chov, that it's a big thing to live in a house without a mezuzah. Living in a house without a mezuzah, you don't borrow, you don't go into debt that you can't pay back. I don't mean today, everyone's in debt today. You have a mortgage on the house. Everyone, you pay payments. I'm not talking about that type of thing. If that's the way you normally, if you have an income and you have money coming in, so you'll know, all things being equal, you'll be able to pay for it. But things where there's no plan, you have no idea how are you going to, you put yourself in a situation when I have no idea. You can't, ain't some canal an ace. We can't rely on a miracle happening that God's going to drop the gifts. And that's the yesod of all these parshas, Ma'is Avos Simul Abanim, that we learn from all the others, but specifically from this week's parsha, we learn a lot about Avos Chesed from Avram Avinu.